Hey, to whoever may need this nugget of encouragement, things will be alright, so quit your worry. I get it, the odds can stack back against the wall, but even consider it such, know you'll stand tall. Sat and watch from the sidelines one too many times. Wicked games to play make me want to lose my mind. Found solitude knowing it'll be over.
Hello everyone, welcome to CEO Talk. This is the woman's journey, right? This is where we do interviews to discuss a woman's career path or their entrepreneur experience, right? I am your host, Jaysa King, on this segment of the Just Jaysa platform. That is where we have all of the amazing podcasts that I bring to you on either a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Saturday within a month. We will be discussing, again, the entrepreneur world, a stay-at-home mom's experience going from a career to being at home, or just a woman with an amazing story. Every Wednesday at 12 p.m. right here on all of your favorite podcast platforms, or check me out on YouTube with a full video. You can also find our past episodes on our website at audacityofwomen.com. If you enjoy these amazing women's stories, make sure you hit the subscribe button, like this video, comment your inspiration, but most importantly, turn on your notifications so you don't miss any of the future interviews. Now, let's jump into this amazing CEO talk for the week. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Just Jaysa. As you know, on Wednesdays, we do our CEO talk. And this is where we go through a woman's journey, whether that's on a career professional side, or we're going to touch into some entrepreneurial journeys. Okay. So today we have the amazing Yasha. I'm super excited to talk to her because we're going to be jumping into education. We're going to do finding your passion. We are going to talk about things that just make being a woman just so intriguing, right? So I'm super excited. I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell us a little bit about her background before we jump into our topics. All right. So again, thank you, Yasha, for joining me.
Thank you so much, Jaysa, for having me. As you stated, my name is Yasha Chapman, and I like to describe myself as an empathetic problem solver who is driven by both passion and purpose. And so that sums me up pretty well as a person, my personal life, and of course, in my professional life as well. And so I have a background in education. I've been in education for over 10 years. And so I've served as a classroom teacher, a tutor, a curriculum coordinator, as well as an instructional coach. And I have recently, within the past year, taken the leap of faith and started my entrepreneurial journey. And I am now a CEO of my own educational consulting company called Elementary Education Evolve, where our mission is to close academic gaps for Black and Brown students and to increase teacher retention.
I love that. So first, just a little background on me. I was a teacher.
Okay.
That's why that was my first full career. I only did it for 2 years though.
Okay.
Kudos to you. Kudos to you. Cause it's crazy. I felt so bad watching these kids, right? You see them go through the hardest point, especially right after COVID. Everything is put on COVID, which I get. It was a complete stop in education. But it doesn't take away the fact that, one, parents aren't present, and two, we're not equipping our students with the skills and tools they need in order to move forward. And then they look at the teachers and expect you to just make miracles. And I wasn't there. Okay. Yeah. But I do have my master's in elementary education, and building that curriculum for our children of color has been my goal. So I am super excited to dive into this interview because that is exactly what I want to do. Love that.
Ooh. Well, hopefully I can persuade you to get back in the classroom too. We'll see. But no, Black students are absolutely needed and are super imperative and important to the success of children of color. They have to see representation. And so, but I definitely get the struggle and the challenges. I'm with you. I'm there with you. Unfortunately, I hear that a lot and I see that a lot, which is a part of my journey, which is what it led me to step out and start this company, start this initiative, because so many teachers need that intensive support. oftentimes we're given like a mentor, mm-hmm. you know, a building mentor, or we may have an instructional coach depending on your mm-hmm. district's budget. But that mentor, like the level of support is limited because they have their own workloads. Yeah. And then if you have a coach, some coaches are split between campuses. Some coaches have a cohort of 18 yeah. to 20 plus teachers. And so especially newer teachers that have 0 to 3 years of experience, mm-hmm. they oftentimes just get like the bare minimum. And so to help combat that, I offer yeah. full-time intensive support. So we do like professional development training that is strictly True. Customizable to what that teacher needs. Because every teacher does not need the same professional development training. Okay. One might need help with lesson planning while mm-hmm. one might need help with classroom management. And so I would cater my yes. tips and strategic planning and all of those things around that specific area related to whatever that teacher needs to work on. And so it's more of a one-on-one approach. Like I said, it's more mm-hmm. customized and it's more tailored to fit the need of that teacher so that they feel fully supported, so that they mm-hmm. are equipped, not told what to do, but shown how to do it, and you have a partner to walk through it with you so that you don't have to go through all of these the roller coasters of emotions that come with being an educator.
Mm. Ooh, you better preach, honey, because yes. Yeah. yes.
I love that. That is so key because, you know, it, as a first-time teacher, that's exactly what I was thrown into. And I had students with EIP. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do that as a first year teacher. Right. And again,
right.
you need like a full year, at least in my experience, a full year on lesson planning. You yeah. just do, because it's you not do. Easy. And then you have to differentiate. You have to go through all these different steps and you're learning your kids. Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So it is. Yes. Commend. That's a commend. I love that. So tell me about your entrepreneurial journey. What is something that you ran into as a challenge, right? So you're jumping into it after being a teacher. What was a challenge you faced?
On this journey, I would say believing that I could do it.
Oh.
Although I had a lot of data to back up my evidence of being effective. Like I said, yep. I've performed in many different roles. And so I have the data from mm-hmm. each role to highlight right. the level of effectiveness that I was able to bring to that organization. But there was still like the sense of self-doubt, just like just stepping out on my own, you know, not the security of having a dependable paycheck, not knowing, you know, where my funds are going to come from. And sometimes stepping outside of your yeah. network. I'm also a military spouse. Mm-hmm. And so I started this journey in a brand new state where nobody knows me. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that in itself, I've run into those challenges and obstacles where people say, well, I know we need the help, but I'm not necessarily familiar with who you are. And so having to become more, I'm also introverted. Mm-hmm. So having to become more extroverted and putting myself out into spaces that I normally would not do, but I also have a more laser vision focus of why I'm doing it. And I know that it's because mm-hmm. our Black and Brown students desperately need somebody like me. I know that teachers desperately yeah. need somebody like me. And when I think about that, fear plays no role in it. I can't be scared. I can't be afraid. I can't be timid. I can't be hesitant. Yeah. I have to move, and I have to do so urgently. And so that's been an obstacle, but that's also how I've overcome the obstacle with the mindset of, if not me, then who? And if not now, yeah. then when?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And that is inspiring, right? We have a lot of women, like you said, that are hesitant to jump out, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to something that you already know you're amazing at. You know you can do it. People tell you mm-hmm. all day long, but that means nothing if you're not confident in yourself and willing to take that leap. So let me ask you, do you have kids? Is that too personal to ask? Do you have kids?
Oh, no, I do. I have two children.
Okay. How do you kind of teach them that, right? So I think it's important to teach our kids about the entrepreneur side. As an entrepreneur, I feel like that's my number one. So how do you teach them about the things you do?
Oh, wow. I am fully transparent, maybe a little too transparent with them, honestly. Yeah. In the sense of, I don't hide my emotions from them.
Mm.
And I let them see my lows. I let them see my tears and my frustration, because that's a part of the journey. And that's also showing them the human side, that it's okay to have these doubts. It's okay to cry. But I do that because I also know I'm demonstrating the ability to pick myself back up in front of them. So they're getting to see, yes, mommy may be sad and mommy may be frustrated, but she's still going. She's still showing up the meetings. She's still marketing. Yeah. She's still pursuing her dreams and her vision. And so more than anything, that's what I want them to get from it. And that's what I tell them. Pay attention to how, like, literally, that's what I tell them. In my moments of where I'm the lowest, pay attention to how I rise above it, because I'm about to rise above it. And the fact that I'm bringing them on this journey and I'm bringing their eyes to it, I have to rise above it. So that's
girl. Yes, I love that. And that is so, again, inspirational. I think I'm a boy mom. My first year is my first child. He's about to be one. And I think about that too. And I had, before my kid, it was interesting how involved I was in my own stuff. You know, I was just, I would just kind of get lost in it. And now I get to a point where I want to make sure I'm balancing being present, but also making sure he can see I'm trying. You know, I want to make sure you have an example. I want you to see the legacy I'm able to build for him. It is interesting when I meet other moms that are trying to do the same thing and learning the different ways they do it, I guess. So being vulnerable, I didn't even think of that. You know, you don't think about letting them see this. If this is your path, this is hard. You know, this is how you get through stuff.
That's what life is. It's a roller coaster of obstacles. But what a lot of children and even adults don't have is that resilience. What does that look like? And so more than anything, I want to model for my children what that looks like. I also model for them that regardless of my vision and my mission with my business, that they are still my number one priority. And so very recently, I was given the opportunity to speak at a women's conference. It just so happened that it falls on the same day that my daughter has her first dance recital in this new area. And so fortunately, however you want to look at it, I had to decline the offer because I'm first her mother and I want to be present for her. It does no good to be out closing gaps for other students and create gaps for my own at home. So I always make sure that the gaps at home are closed and not created so that I feel free to go out and close gaps on behalf of other students and children that aren't mine.
Right. I definitely agree that it's very important to highlight. What would you say are trends that you see with our kids of color within education? What are some common trends?
The biggest common trend is that the literacy rate, struggling to read and write. Our students are predominantly the lowest ranking. And this has been the trend for over 30 years. And so it's mind-boggling when you think about the advancement of technology, all of the advancement in research, yet our students are still behind. So we can't blame it on a lack of information. The only thing left to review is how is our mindsets? What are we thinking when we're doing this work? And so again, going off a little bit, but just the teacher's mindsets, focused on doing a lot of training around that, reprogramming, introducing biases, being able to recognize biases and how the media and society plays a role in that. And so those are all of the things, but that's the biggest trend that I notice, as well as being misdiagnosed with behavioral disorders, when really there's just a lack of relationships within classrooms, higher suspension rates, again, a lack of relationships, and just quick to toss out the child because, you know, we have all these stereotypes and all these labels. And before we even take the time to get to know the student, we place what we already think, preconceived notions, onto these children. And then we act on them. And then we instruct, and it's just a repetitive cycle. And so those are some of the main trends that I see, again, that impact our Black and Brown students.
Mm-hmm. And that is so valid. And again, I'm not ashamed to admit, I know going into my first year, I had pre-K. That's where I started. I started with pre-K. And then, baby, I have my sweet ones, but then I have my two that made me question my life. I got to the point where I was like, I love that little baby. You know, they want so many different things, and you go into it and you hear all the different rumors like, oh yeah, that's the bad kid. Oh, that class is really hard to deal with. But you get in there and you're like, no, did you ask that kid what he had for lunch today? Did you talk to him about last night? There are so many small things. As adults, I get hangry. If I don't eat, I'm upset.
Exactly.
I can only imagine what these babies are feeling. And again, I know within my first 2 years, that was really rough for me because I had to kind of step out of myself and put myself in their shoes. And that is huge in education.
Oh, Jason, that's so key that you said that. You have to step out of your shoes and put yourself into theirs. That is empathy personified. And that is a strong component that is missing from our teachers and education. The lack of empathy and being able to understand and connect or relate to what somebody else is going through. Not even with children, but even as adults in our society, that seems to be a thing that we're struggling with. But you can only imagine, you know, it's unfair to let that trickle down to children who don't even have the words to articulate what it is that they're feeling. We have the words to articulate, you know, that I'm hangry. I can't listen. I can't focus because I'm hungry. But a child that's 4 or 5 just knows that they're hungry. Yeah. They don't necessarily know that this is impacting their ability to sit still, or why they just want to talk out, or why they have an attitude and may be defiant and completing the work. So those are the same things. They don't have all of the tools. They don't have the skills. Mm-hmm. So it's our job as educators to teach them those skills. And that happens when you are able to step outside of yourself and demonstrate empathy, for sure.
I love that. Tell me how you got into education, right? So 10 years, that's a long time. And again, within the current climate, that's even more interesting that you stayed. So tell me about that. Well, what was your journey?
Ooh, so I initially was a pre-pharmacy major. I wanted to be a pharmacist. I know, it's funny. Like, how did you get over here? But I have been an honor roll student my entire life, from elementary, middle, high school. And then I get to college. I'm this chemistry pre-pharm major, and I start failing. This is the first time, and I'm like, what is life right now? Why am I failing? Maybe this isn't the path for me. And there were also language barriers and other things that played a part. But anyway, I took some personality tests, and they kept pointing me in the direction of an elementary teacher. And so I got with my school, Valdosta State University, shout out. And they orchestrated to where I was able to go and shadow another school. And I went into this classroom. It was a third grade classroom. And I remember I was helping the students. And this one little girl asked me if I could be her mom. And when I asked, you know, why do you want me to be your mom? She said, because you helped me with my work. You helped me with my schoolwork. My mommy doesn't help me. And legit, at that moment, it was like light bulb off. Curtains closed. This is it. I'm doing this for the rest of my life. I will get out of my bed and come work for free for her and for anybody else that looks like her. And that's when I realized that was my passion, because they say if you find something that you're willing to do for free, you'll enjoy it for the rest of your life. And that gives me more fulfillment than a paycheck. Which is why I didn't go into education for money. It's the knowing that I am a part of this child's journey forever. I'm laying the foundation for their life. And I say that because I'm gonna challenge you. Most people don't remember their middle or their high school teachers, but they remember their elementary school teachers. And I wanted that type. I'm a little selfish in that way. I wanted to be remembered forever. I wanted to make sure that, again, their foundation was strong so that as they moved through the preceding grades, that they had a good, solid foundation to build upon. And so that's what led me into education.
That is so sweet. I would admire everything in the little store. What do you need? That is so sweet.
Yeah. Truly, I was sold. It's like whatever I need to do. And so like some teachers run away from Title I schools or urban areas. I run to them.
Yeah. That's where we're needed. And it's interesting because I say I hated the classroom, but I love that what you described, the relationships, the knowing that when you get there, they're looking for you. You know, they're looking for that bond. You're probably the best conversation they have all week long. Yeah. And it is difficult. And I think, like, for me, my biggest obstacle was administration and the team culture within the school. It wasn't very good. And that, as a new teacher, just pushed me away completely. I went from being bubbly to wanting to come to work. Like, I would get dressed to my second year, people are asking me what's wrong. And I'm just like, I've lost my spark. I've lost my joy. My kids, yes, they bring me joy, but I'm here with people, adult, that act like they just hate me. And I don't even know you from the slice of bread. So it's just like, what in the world? Yeah. But it's, that's amazing to keep that joy and remind other teachers. I do think that that's definitely important.
Yeah. Ooh, one thing that helped me, because I've definitely been in environments like similar to what you described. And a motto that I live by is to be a thermostat and not a thermometer.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, a thermometer picks up the temperature.
Yep.
So, of course, you could be in a great mood, but you walk by somebody that's in a bad mood and they won't speak to you. Then all of a sudden that rubs off on you. Now you walk around and you got an attitude and you don't even know why, because you woke up fine. Whereas a thermostat, it sets the temperature. That means everything else around me has to adapt to my mood. Regardless of what you have going on, I'm still going to speak. Mm-hmm. Good morning. How are you? I'm here today. Mm-hmm. We're here today. Happy Monday. Happy Friday. Mm-hmm. And that's the mindset. Does it get old? Absolutely. I'm not going to hold you and lie, make it seem like everything's gravy. But it's a constant, it's just constant work and reflection of just being okay. One, it really comes with being okay with who you are and knowing who you are.
Yeah,
that once you're anchored in that, everything else is just noise around you. And so when you're able to know who you are, get anchored in that and block that out, it's easier to remind yourself, I'm a thermostat. I'm a thermostat. And kids will gravitate to you. Your tribe will gravitate to you. And the people that are supposed to be in your environment will be.
I love that. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to quote you. But
go ahead.
I'm going to.
Yes, I love that.
Tell me about finding your passion, right? So how would you help someone find their passion?
Finding your passion, I would say find something that could be a problem, something that maybe you've experienced in your life that invokes this internal desire to want to fix it or change it. And so I believe when you find that, or when you find something that, again, you wouldn't mind doing for free, that's where your passion is. And even I want to go back to this trauma a little bit. I know sometimes in our community we don't sit with our trauma. We try to avoid it. But I'm a firm believer of things happening for you and not to you.
Yeah.
And when you realize that something has happened for you, you can take what you've learned from that experience and elevate yourself with the tools that you've gained from that, if you're reflective to do so. And so I would even encourage people to sit with their traumas and sit with something that they wouldn't want to happen to anybody else. And let that be your driving, because that will drive you. Pain fuels passion. And so,
And it's funny because that used to be my motto. Let my pain drive me. And after a while, I tried to find a way to get out of it. And it doesn't make sense, because I was trying to, I guess, recompact my trauma and not wanting to feel it. And just, you put it away so you excuse everything else away. But that is a valid point. You have to sit in it. And again, being a new mom, I'm a stay-at-home mom now. So all I have is time with my child. And I'm constantly hit with triggers. I'm like, okay, this is different.
I'm panicking. Yeah. Why is this triggering me? What is this bringing out? What is this connected to? Okay. And then once you had a handle on that, you now know what that is. So the next time it comes up, okay, I know what this is. I know why that triggered me. I'm okay with that, or I've forgiven that, or I'm over that. But it has to come to a point where you're able to first identify, recognize it, and sit with whatever the result. Sometimes we are our own problem. A lot of people are not comfortable with admitting that to themselves. But if you really want to grow, if you really want to become the highest version of who you are, you have to be willing to admit and say to yourself, sometimes I'm the problem.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't have to say that to her like that. I could have said it a different way.
Yeah.
Or you know what? I didn't have to I didn't have to be petty. I could have been a bigger person. And I don't like being petty. Yeah. All the things. And so you just have to be honest with yourself. Society and social media, you see memes all day. Oh, I'm matching energy, blah blah. Don't allow, again, that's outside noise.
Yeah.
That's outside noise, and that's allowing it to infiltrate your system and throw you off your ecosystem and who you are at your core.
I know that's right. We ain't gonna be matching energy, bro. That's exhausting. Once you get to a certain age, I'm tired.
Quiet. If anything, again, I'm a thermostat. You match my energy. I'm up here. I'm positive. Feel my vibes.
I love it. I know you got stuff to do. I want to just make sure I talk to you. I enjoyed this interview. Thank you so much. This was amazing.
I like it. We will do this again.
Yes, girl. Yes, we will definitely talk. Please, I want to do it every time you want to promote or you just want to come on here and talk. I have so many segments we can talk about for sure. Ooh, I love it.
Yeah, well, I can look at more time if you want. If you had any more questions for me,
yes, please. Okay, cool. All right. So, my other platforms, right? It's on the culture. That's one. And something that I'm trying to dive into, right, is kind of unpacking the misconceptions that we have about each other. Honestly, so something that I've come across is within the Black community, we believe one thing. We have a bad habit of constantly spreading that one image we have about ourselves in the rest of the world. What are your thoughts, right? Obviously, that's very broad, so whatever comes to mind, but what are your thoughts on addressing that we're not, stuck in this box that everyone has evolved and that there are so many different ways to live life? What do you think?
What do I think of that? I think that the people around you are meant to be mirrors. And so to show you where you're strong, to show you where you have vulnerabilities, to show you where you need to improve. And really, oftentimes, the people around us are projecting their own insecurities and flaws. And so I think once you understand that people are projecting, you can understand not to take things personal. And when you understand that people are mirrors, you can also get immersed in the practice of self-reflectiveness. And in doing so, I think that could bring to attention or to the surface that everybody is on their own unique journeys. And everybody grows and matures and goes through their own cycles and seasons at their own rates and paces that's conducive for them.
Yeah.
And once we come to terms with that and not comparing and not being envious or jealous of what somebody else has, we can truly respect and love one another for the individual journeys that we're on and getting back to really being supportive and collaborative, because I feel like that has been something that's lost upon our community, that collaboration, like that crabs in a bucket, the barrel mentality, like only one of us can make it to the top.
Yeah.
Everybody knows somebody, everybody has a gift, and everybody has something that somebody else needs. And what we go through in our lives are not just for us, it's for other people. It's to help other people. And so I hope I'm answering your question, but I just hope, I think once we get out of our own ways and we look at the people around us from that, through that, through those lenses, I think we could be better off as a community.
I like that. And I definitely agree. Me and my husband have that conversation often, and we tend to be two sides of the same coin, but essentially that's it for me. Is simply mind your business. That's me to a certain extent, because ultimately you're worried about how someone else is living when your home isn't together. You know, there are things that you, again, being a mirror, I can speak on. I did a women's panel, women's history panel for my other segment, and we discussed friendships. And someone I had on there is a spiritual life coach. And what she said was, I want to make sure I quote her properly, that basically the same thing, that we go into it not realizing that that friendship is a reflection of you in that moment. Same thing, you're a mirror. And for me, I've always had a hard time maintaining my friendships because I was looking for them to fill my abandonment issues, to fill my void of not betraying me and not going somewhere. So when I got into this position and I'm talking to these women, I'm like, oh, wait, okay, it's me. It's me. I'm placing too much of a burden on someone who just wants to go to brunch. You know, it's like that's a lot. And I think that, again, we don't realize that these small little feats apply to our entire society, our entire being. So I commend you. I love that. That is it. I think that did answer my question.
I mean, you were recognizing that. That was something that you know, because that's work. You did some kind of work to realize that. And that's something that a lot of people, again, aren't willing to do, aren't willing to say, oh my gosh, I was placing a burden on you that wasn't yours to carry. Yeah. That's maturity. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Yes, man. I was sitting there. I was like, okay, thank you. This is for y'all. Give me a little bit. I love that. Well, yes, ma'am. That's all my questions. I do want to make sure we can get in touch with you. So can you share your social media platforms or website?
Absolutely. So my website is www.elemedevolved.com. That's E-L-E-M, L-M-E-D, Evolved, E-V-O-L-V-E-D.com. On Instagram, Facebook, Elementary Education Evolved. I'm on LinkedIn. You can look up the same business or my name, Yasha Chapman, YouTube, and TikTok.
Oh, yes. And I got you, too. So on my website, if you guys go to audacityofwomen.com, under the podcast section, then you scroll down to CEO Talk, there will be a page with all of the CEOs for this month. Okay. Go ahead. Find Yasha. She on there. All right. All of the links she just said is on there already. So you guys go check her out, because I absolutely love this interview. Again, this was amazing. I don't get too many people that are comfortable to talk to me, so I appreciate you coming on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course. By all means, I would love to do this again. We will talk, because I have some things planned. I would love to have you on. Yes, guys, as always, you know, make sure you subscribe, turn on your notifications, like, share, comment, and again, go visit our website, audacityofwomen.com. I will see you next Wednesday. Bye.
All right, guys, that was our episode. Thank you so much for listening to this amazing interview from another CEO. Here at CEO Talk, The Women's Journey, we like to make sure that we are catering to our audience. So if you are interested in being a CEO or you want to just be a guest on the Just Jaysa platform, please make sure you visit our website, audacityofwomen.com, and go under the podcast section. On that same section, you're going to find the sign up links. Go ahead and sign up with us to be a guest on any of the Just Jaysa platforms, okay? That could be CEO Talk, that could be Just Jaysa Saturdays, or our new segment, which is Awareness and Heritage Panels. And lastly, our biggest one, which will be coming now in May, Contrary to the Culture. So make sure you go ahead and sign up. I would love to have some new guests. But before you go, thank you so much again for watching or listening, depending on your platform. Make sure you like, share, comment, but of course, subscribe to all of our channels on our platforms, as well as turn on your notifications so you don't miss any future interviews. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Jaysa King. Until next time.
To whoever may need this nugget of encouragement, things will be alright, so quit your worry. I get it, the odds can stack back against the wall, but even consider it such, know you'll stand firm. Sat and watch from the sidelines, one too many times. Wicked games we play, make me wanna lose my mind. Found solitude, knowing it'll be over soon.